Dear fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That portion of God's Word which serves as the basis for this morning's meditation, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in the 7th chapter of Matthew, and I will read it again. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Let us pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Jesus warns us of false prophets. They will come and do terrible damage to Christians. The Holy Spirit brings us to faith and keeps us in this faith. False prophets attack this faith. The Holy Spirit creates and nourishes our faith by proclaiming the truth to us. The devil attacks our faith by means of proclaiming false teachings to us. Jesus compares false prophets to wolves dressed up with sheep's clothing so that they can invade the flock and catch them unawares. Sheep have neither the strength nor the intelligence to protect themselves from wolves. They need a shepherd to protect them. Jesus is the shepherd, and the Holy Church is his flock. The greatest threat to Christ's flock is not persecution from without, but false teaching from within, from here. The church survived the terrible persecution of Nero and various other Caesars who hounded Christians into caves and slaughtered them for sport. The Christians survived the assault of Islam and centuries of persecution under their rule. The Christians survived communism with its mass murder of Christians and its incessant propaganda against the Christian faith. And the church will survive the present cultural lie that is passed around as political correctness and who knows what in our day. But the most effective attack of the wolf against the sheep takes place when the wolf dresses up in sheep's clothing and disguises himself as one of the sheep. Persecution from without has often strengthened the resolve of the church. False teaching from within saps the strength of the church and her resistance to every kind of soul-destroying error. The most effective attacks against the faith of Christians takes place within the church. Respected pastors and theologians introduce false teachings in the name of Jesus. And when the sheep are lulled into complacency, they put their trust in wolves. Just because a man has a pious veneer and a doctor in theology does not mean that he is a faithful teacher of God's word. Beware of false prophets. So warns Jesus. You will know them by their fruits. Now, what are the fruits of this false prophet? Don't confuse the fruits with the sheep's clothing. Don't look for the false prophet to engage in an openly immoral life. He's not out getting drunk, committing adultery, getting in fights, or breaking the law. He's wearing sheep's clothing, remember. The fruits of a false prophet are his false teachings. The fruits of a farmer are what he harvests. The fruit of a carpenter is the house or the furniture he builds. The fruit of a legislator is the law he produces. The fruit of a school teacher is the knowledge he or she imparts to the children. The fruit of a prophet is the teaching that is transmitted to the people. Judge the prophets. That's right. Judge the preachers and teachers and pastors and theologians. Judge them by their doctrine. Yes, judge. When Jesus commands us not to judge, he does not mean that we may not judge the false teaching we hear from preachers, or any teaching we hear from preachers. The very fact that Jesus warns us Christians about false prophets and commands all Christians to watch out for them tells us that Christians must know them by their fruits and that they have the right and the duty to judge doctrine. This is one reason why we catechize our children and require them to memorize the six chief parts of Luther's small catechism. And this is also why we here as a congregation review the parts of the catechism before the sermon when we celebrate matins. We learn portions of God's word that summarize the Christian faith. And this is how God arms us and our children. Armed with the word of God, we can do battle against false doctrine and anything that would lead us away from the truth. False prophets say that God said it when he didn't say it. Or they say that God did not say it when God said it. They draw their doctrine from some other source than Holy Scriptures. They may rely on tradition or experience or common sense or holy men who know more than anybody else or who have some special measure of the Holy Spirit. But they cannot substantiate, that is, they cannot prove their doctrine from clear scriptures. Our Lutheran confessions call the Bible the pure fountain of Israel. It is the source, the only source, of all divine, wholesome, life-giving, true doctrine. By leading you away from the clear teaching of God's word, the false prophet would lead you away from Christ. The early church was compelled to confess that the Virgin Mary was the mother of God, the God-bearer, because certain heretics denied that Jesus was really and truly God when he was born. So we also call the Bible the God-bearer. Mary bore Jesus in her womb. The Bible bears Jesus on every page. Mary gave birth to the Word made flesh. The Bible is the Word written down in words. It is the manger in which the Christ child is laid. It bears witness from Genesis through Revelation to this Christ. And it cannot lie. It can no more lie or mislead us than God himself can lie or mislead us. And it always leads us to Christ. When Jesus talked to his disciples after his resurrection from the dead and showed them how the writings of the Old Testament prophets spoke of him, he told them that they spoke of his crucifixion for the sins of the world. They spoke of his substitution under the law. Isaiah was a prophet, a true prophet, and he wrote so beautifully about Christ. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The true prophet always glorifies Christ for his suffering for sinners. The false prophets, and you can always know this, here's his fruit, will always tell you to look somewhere else than the suffering and death of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. The fruit of the false prophets are destroyed lives. When the faith of the sinner is led away from the suffering and death of Jesus Christ to take away his sins, that sinner is led away from the source of the forgiveness of sins. He is led away from the true God, from eternal life, and from any hope at all. Jesus, the good shepherd, who lays down his life for the sheep, gives us true and lasting life. And apart from him, there is none. The central truth in Holy Scripture is that Jesus Christ is our righteousness. That is, he is our goodness. He's what makes us good trees, so that through faith, good trees can and do bear good fruit. Apart from Christ and without him as our righteousness, all we have is sin and uncleanness. And if led away from Christ, we are led into sin from which we cannot escape, because Jesus, the sin bearer, is the only escape we have of the consequence of our sin. Nowadays, the most effective false prophets are those who denigrate this concern for pure doctrine, as if we are being small-minded to care about knowing and confessing God's pure truth. And of course, folks can point to the apparently incessant squabbling that takes place among Christians who take doctrine seriously. Our lives in this world will always be prone to error and truth. We won't put off the sinful flesh entirely until we are laid in the grave, but God's word must be kept entirely pure and free from error of any kind, because it is our Lord himself who urges us to take the doctrine seriously. We must never say that God said it when he did not say it clearly in Holy Scriptures. And we must say what he clearly says in Holy Scriptures. We must confess it and hold on to it for dear life. For all the truth that God reveals to us is centered in and revolves around and serves to promote the truth that we cannot be justified before God by our own strength, merits, or works, but are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith when we believe that we are received into his favor and that our sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, who by his death has made satisfaction for our sins. This faith God imputes for righteousness in his sight, as the Bible teaches from cover to cover. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us this faith, and by it we confidently call God Father as heirs of the glory of heaven. So we will treasure this gospel truth more than life itself, and learn to mark and avoid the wolf running away from all false doctrine into the protection of our good shepherd, Jesus, who laid down his life, took it up again, and promises to give us eternal life that no one can take away from us. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.